Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, the Bloody 20s is here. What does that mean? We go into that, including the problem of guilt in our society and so much more. We also give a flash update from the Floyd trial happening in Minneapolis. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get behind the work we are doing to support the next generation and communicate truth to them, I want to thank some of our supporters. I want to thank David from Oregon. I want to thank Joyce from California. I want to thank Jim from Michigan. I want to thank Saiken from Boston, and I want to thank Patricia from Hawaii. All of you are inspiration to us, and you support us so amazingly. charliekirk.com/support. If you want to help get this program to the next level, maybe you have some stimulus money that you want to put to use. Maybe you're having a great year in business. Maybe you're in some business. Maybe you are in the Clorox business, and you had a great year. Well, then you guys can support us at charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, it's tpusa.com. It's the Bloody 20s. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out. Relieffactor.com. I want to take a step back and tell you a trend that's happening here that's really important. I'm going to get to a couple things here, but it's a phrase that I have coined, the Bloody 20s. Not the Roaring 20s, but the Bloody 20s. We are heading for the most violent decade, probably in recent history, if not American history. And I'm seeing it happen for a variety of different reasons. And I don't think we always talk about what actually drives violence and crime, most importantly, the lack of a family structure, the lack of a belief in a creator, and the lack of understanding right from wrong. But we are heading into the most dangerous decade to be alive. Why? Well, believe it or not, post-1995, America became remarkably safe. When I was growing up, America had violent crime decreasing year over year. But now we are seeing an increase in crime, the likes of which is unprecedented. The increase. We're not yet at levels that are late 80s or early 90s levels, but the increase. In 29 of 34 major American cities, criminologists observed an increase in homicide rates last year. These cities saw a 30% average increase in homicide, the highest single-year percentage change on record. For most cities, these rates are just over half of what they were in 1995. So again, they're not as bad as they were in the 90s, but we're on pace, and the increase is dramatic. Now, this corresponds to an additional 1,268 homicides in the city studies in 2020 versus 209 in 2019 in just those 34 cities. Now, if you take just the largest 60 cities in the country, That's right. The largest 60 police agencies from those cities show a 36% increase in murders over the last year. This is new from the New York Police Department. In a 28-day period from March 8th to April 4th of this year, there has been a 95% jump in shootings compared to the same time period last year. And homicides have gone up 60%. Now, that might be partially because we were locked down that time of year and people were more afraid of getting the Chinese coronavirus than getting shot. I kid you not, that was actually a thing in Chicago, that people were more afraid of getting the virus than getting shot. That's why gangbanging went down for 30 days, but they made up for lost time over the summer. Richard B. Rosenfeld, a criminologist from the University of Missouri at St. Louis, said the data shows the first half of 2020 was more or less in line with past years, but there was a major change around the middle of last year. This is from the Washington Post. Now, what happened the middle of last year? That's right. A drug addict by the name of George Floyd died when a police officer engaged with him. He might have died from a drug overdose. He might have died from Derek Chauvin. We don't know. But I do want to play tape here. Listen to this. This is a use of force expert who has just testified in the George Floyd hearing. Now, remember, after George Floyd, we decided to abolish police departments, defund police departments, reallocate money. We had billions of dollars go to BLM Incorporated to contribute to Patrice Culler's real estate empire portfolio. We decided to unravel basically everything we know when it comes to crime and safety. But listen to this testimony from a use of force expert who says Derek Chauvin was completely justified in his use of force. Wait till you hear the language here. Play tape.
So just to kind of wrap up, could you summarize the final opinions that you have made in this case?
I felt that Officer Chauvin's interactions with Mr. Floyd were following his training, following current practices in policing, and were objectively reasonable.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
That's a bombshell piece of testimony. Following current trainings and procedures and was objectively reasonable. If I was a member of the jury, that's enough to make me think. That's enough to instill what we call a seed of doubt. Now, this defense attorney for Chauvin, I think he's doing a pretty good job. He's a doofus a little bit, the way he kind of walks around the courtroom, a little bit aloof. And he has a beard. Big mistake. You never have a beard when you're trying to get people. No, it's true. There's tons of stories on. I'm not against people that have beards. I'm not. The point, there's tons of studies on this, that if you're actually trying to persuade people and make them trust you, people are less likely to trust people with beards. There's a lot of studies on this, that if you run for political office with a beard, you're less likely to win. I'm not kidding. I'm not against people with beards. Tyler has a beard. He walks around with a beard all the time. I'm just saying that if you're a lawyer defending the most hated man in America, and the facts are more complicated than it seems, probably don't have a beard. Anyway, that's a complete side note. I can't wait to get all the emails from all the beard people. I love you guys. It's fine. It's not about that. I'm just saying this guy, in his own particular instance, should have shaved. Okay. So, middle of last year, we saw this massive increase in violent crime. Rosenfeld says, quote, "The increase tends to occur in nearly every single city at the end of May and the first days of June." That's why I connect to the George Floyd news, because the George Floyd news, where we don't know if he died of a drug overdose or not, but that guy's testimony, not my words, his words, to Derek Chauvin's use of force was, quote, "objectively reasonable." Rosenfeld continues by saying, "The size and abruptness of the increase are unprecedented." Washington Post says that was the time frame in which the country was convulsed, it's a weird word to use, by protests over the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. We all remember what happened. Crime went up dramatically because it was all of a sudden justified to go loot, riot, steal, and burn because of what they believed happened to George Floyd. Now, in Washington, D.C., there have been 200 homicides to date, a 20% increase that is in line with national FBI figures. Again, Washington Post. Now, why the Washington Post is the authority figure on crime in our country? I asked this question of Heather McDonald, And she didn't really have an answer to it. I think she agreed with my question. But can we have some other institution in the country please do some crime analysis other than the Washington Post? Because I just don't trust anything they publish. I'd be happy to talk to anyone. If someone needs funding for that, I'm happy to raise them money for it. This is really important. And I don't understand why the Washington Post is the only place that publishes this stuff. I don't get it. No one's been able to explain that to me. Anyway, it's a side note. Now, in New York, killings are up about 40% and shootings have doubled from the previous year. Now, this is all since the death of George Floyd. Now, crime is still below the levels of the 90s, but we are entering a murderous decade. When New York logged more than 2,000 killings in a single year, compared to 437 it recorded shortly before Christmas of 2020. Now, why did New York crime go down? More police. As the war on cops continues, violent crime is going to go up, and it's coming to a neighborhood near you. The obvious thing you need to do, people say, what can I do about it? I actually have an action item for you here. Go buy a firearm, okay? This one is not that hard. Go buy a gun. Learn how to use it and use it legally, okay? Obviously, everything we talk about on the show is always legal. Go buy a gun. Seriously, crime is up. Jim Pasco, the executive director of the National Fraternal Order of Police, said that during the long-term trend of falling crime rates, which began in the mid-90s, is now showing signs of faltering. So now that we have these mass, well-funded movements to attack police officers and justify widespread criminality, we're seeing crime rates go back up. It's exactly what happened with Dante Wright. The rap songs that Dante Wright listens to, the video games that he was likely exposed to, the movies that he watched, and the culture around him glamorized and glorified resisting arrest. And that's not a racial thing. It's just true. It's true that resisting arrest is something that is glorified and glamorized in our country. And so then Dante Wright felt compelled to go commit another crime. By the way, it's against the law to resist arrest. So he died in the process of committing a crime. I'm not saying he deserved to die. There's some nuance there. The cop, obviously, based on the video, acted improperly. But that piece of information is very important. Now, we're going to keep on unpacking the bloody 20s and where this is headed and why this is happening, because it's actually deeper than just the war on police and the cultural issue that I mentioned. Look, by now you've all heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. Mike Lindell, he's got a lot of ambition. He's a patriot. He loves his country. A lot of people like Mike Lindell. In fact, I get emails from people. They say, Charlie, how can I help you? How can I help Mike Lindell? How can I help the country? Well, if you go to MyPillow.com and buy anything with the promo code Kirk, it helps both of us. That's right. Maybe you want to go buy the MyPillow slippers. They're beautiful slippers. Maybe you want to buy the MyPillow. MyPillow slippers are so comfortable that you want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. You'll also get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bedsheets, the MyPillow mattress toppers, and MyPillow towel sets. Or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk. Unfortunately, we're entering a very troubling decade, and how we're able to navigate it remains to be seen. I do believe that we are going to have another opportunity, we being reasonable people that actually love our nation and love our home. We're about to enter a very violent decade. And one of the reasons why is because we have a crisis of purpose. A lot of people commit crimes because they're actually looking for purpose. I actually think that it's more about purpose and less about material. This is a fundamental disagreement that I have with leftists. They think it's all material. I think it's partially material. But I actually think it's insulting to poor people that don't commit crimes to say that just because you're poor, you commit crimes. People of all socioeconomic levels commit crimes. It's about values, not stuff. So what gives people purpose? Well, having a family gives you purpose. having direction gives you purpose. But when you don't have those things, you don't have a job, you do not have camaraderie, you don't have friendship, then people are going to search for purpose in unconventional, unusual, and yes, illegal ways. You want to be important in downtown Brooklyn Center? Pull out a gun and point it at someone. All of a sudden, you're the most important person in the area. You went from unimportant to important like that. Purpose comes from a Greek word, telos. Telos is where we get the word telescope, which means out in the distance, your aim, the end result. Where are you going? This is one of the reasons why violent crime is going up and social activism is also going up. Social activism gives a lot of people purpose. Looting and rioting and arson, as grotesque as it might seem to us, gives a lot of people a reason to keep going. There's a reason why we are seeing mental health issues and suicide increase and looting and rioting and arson increase. They're directly related. They're different ways to deal with the same problem. So let me just tell you how bad the violent crime increase is in our country. It is the largest recorded one-year rise in murders in history. Homicide rates began increasing in most places in the mid-1960s, and 68 up to this point was the largest increase. Now, in 2015, homicide rate went up 11% because of the Ferguson effect. This is worse than ever before. To give you an idea, after Martin Luther King Jr. was shot and killed, the homicide rate went up. It went up even worse this last year. Every major city is seeing an increase in crime. Every major city. So while we have to be lectured by BLM Incorporated about Dante Wright, a criminal, there have been 162 people shot and killed in Chicago, 735 people shot and wounded, and 897 people total shot, with 170 total homicides. We just saw the murder rate and the homicide rate go up 34% in major cities, where the previous high was 12%. That's what I meant to say earlier. I didn't interpret that correctly. So why is this happening? Lack of purpose, lack of direction, people seeking pleasure over truth, people seeing immediate gratification instead of delayed gratification, which is a Western value. Heather McDonald talked about that brilliantly on our program, The Charlie Kirk Show. I encourage you to find it. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider and hit subscribe. And so what can we actually do about this besides arming yourselves? Well, it's a values debate. It's less about the mechanics and more about whether or not we share the values of one another. Being able to differentiate right from wrong, to seek truth, to have restraint. Why is it that millions of young black men are finding meaning in crime? Well, it's because they don't have a father figure in their life. They don't have someone to emulate, to look after them, and to strive to be. So they go find someone who has power. Well, the person who has power is the guy on the side of the street with a firearm who drives the flashy cars. He has power, the wrong type of power, but he has power. Free email services like Gmail and Yahoo are not actually free. You pay with your privacy. In fact, internet giants like big tech bank on exploiting your data by selling it to the highest bidder. Your business plan, Google has it. Your medical records, Yahoo can sell them to drug companies. Start Mail. It makes me feel safe again. Start Mail keeps my email private. Period. Every time, email can be encrypted, even if the recipient doesn't use encryption. When you delete an email in Start Mail, it's gone forever. And Start Mail uses their own servers, not Amazon's, which means they can't be put out of business, like Parler. Switching to Start Mail is seamless, too. You can easily transfer all of your current email data, so there's no starting from scratch. StartMail is also backed by the most stringent policy laws in the world. StartMail is incredible, so check it out. Your cybersecurity has never been more at risk. Email snoops and scammers are taking advantage of the pandemic as phishing has skyrocketed in the last year. Take control of your privacy with StartMail before it's too late. Start securing your email privacy with StartMail. Sign up today and you get 50% off your first year. Go to startmail.com/Charlie. That's StartMail with a T, S-T-A-R-T, mail.com/Charlie for 50% off your first order. startmail.com/Charlie. It's a lot of different stories I want to connect to. I got a note from a friend asking me, do you think we have a self-esteem crisis? I said, no, I think we have a self-control crisis, and you get self-esteem from self-control. That we have an entire country that is about immediate pleasure and seeking pleasure over earned success and delayed gratification. That creates miserable people and people that then go engage in crime to either find purpose, self-esteem, or to be able to gratify themselves so they can get resources or material, whether it be looting a store or holding up a store, so they don't have to actually work or earn the success. They'll just take it. There's a lot of different themes there that I want to unpack. I want to get to a couple kind of news of the day and just go more into what's happening in Minnesota right now. And so the Democrat mayor of Brooklyn Center, Minneapolis, completely caved to BLM Incorporated. BLM Incorporated will be historically known as an organization that said they were for Black Lives, but their policies and their ideas and their values will directly contribute to tens of thousands more Black people being killed. That will be their legacy. And also building a pretty impressive real estate empire for the people that run it. Cut 57, Democrat mayor of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, Mike Elliott, play tape.
And so with people coming to the department expressing their anger and seeing the flag, we don't want the flag to be a flashpoint that, you know, angers people and does that in a way that, they're going to come to the department. And so we've asked the flag to be removed. Has the flag been removed?
Yeah, so it's a back the blue flag. Again, this guy looks like he's in high school. I somewhat feel bad for him because he didn't sign up to be a national spokesperson for this stuff. But just resign or have a little bit of courage before you start pandering to BLM Incorporated. My heart sort of goes out to him because you could see he has no idea what he's doing. He's being controlled. He's just completely being manipulated. And then he says something really foolish, which makes me feel less sorry for him. Cut 54, he says, why do cops need weapons? Cut 54.
I don't believe that officers need to necessarily have weapons, every time they're making a traffic stop or engaged in situations that don't necessarily call for weapons.
So do police officers need firearms or weapons at a traffic stop? I'm not going to show the video on the live stream, but if you watch the recent video out of New Mexico of the guy that got pulled over with the AR-15 and he just turns around and murders the cop with an AR-15, yes, police officers need to be armed when they do traffic stops. This whole situation was preventable if Dante Wright decided not to be a criminal. It's that simple. Once a situation of chaos is created, then unpredictable, less than desirable outcomes that are almost guaranteed. Let's go to a cut here. BLM Incorporated, they are now using white people as human shields. Cut 55.
Nah, get the white people in the front, bro. White people in the front. White allies in the front.
What's hilarious is that the white liberals were willingly doing that. Is that the white liberals were okay being in the front of the police to go guard the black people. And this segues to something I've been wanting to talk about for the last couple of days, and I've been waiting for the right opportunity, which is this idea of guilt. I believe that guilt is one of the strongest beliefs that is driving human behavior in our country. Whether we realize it or not, the left is dominated by guilt. Or at least the people that follow the left. What do I mean by guilt? Well, guilt is a feeling, somewhat mostly irrational, that what you have or where you are is not something you earned. Now, that might be the case. But to all of a sudden feel a need to repatriate or redistribute your position or your resources because of that, and then with it, society's resources, is immoral. Why not open the borders? Well, if you feel that your position in life is not worthy or not earned, then why wouldn't you want to open the borders to the entire third world? Now, mind you, that disregards that your position is probably largely in part because of a sacrifice somebody else made in some other generation so that you might be able to live quiet and peaceable lives. I truly believe that our inability to explain the wealth that we have, the position that we have in our country, our inability to be able to communicate our values is this constant guilt-ridden campaign to try to pay penance and assuage ourselves of a knot in the stomach that many upper middle-class white liberals feel every single day. Maybe they didn't sacrifice to be where they are. Maybe they didn't actually have to work to go drive around in Range Rovers in Paradise Valley and be able to lecture other people about how good of people they are. And we see this in this recent ridiculous advertisement in the New York Times. Remember, I read the New York Times, so you don't have to. This advertisement in the New York Times says, "We stand for democracy." And it is this double page, full page ad of corporations, people, and even nonprofits that say that they are opposing Georgia's voter law. This is a mixture of power-hungry zealots and self-righteous activists, but most importantly, guilt-ridden wealthy people. One thing I love about the Christian ethic, and one of the few things I love about Ayn Rand's objectivist philosophy, is its de-emphasis on guilt. I think that if you take the Randian ethic too far, obviously, you get to a place of just materialism and self-indulgence. However, I do appreciate some of her literature. I think it's very interesting. I think The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, as far as an individual challenging a power structure and what it means to be daring and take risk, I really enjoy it from a narrative standpoint. I don't endorse it as a worldview. Obviously, I'm a Christian. But one thing that Christianity and objectivism has in common, which again, this is a nuanced view that very few people will ever tell you, is that they say, why would you feel guilty for what you have? Did you steal it? Did you do something immoral to get it? If you did not do something immoral to get what you have, then why would you feel guilty? Well, it was given to me. Well, if it was given to you, did that person sacrifice for it? Did that person wake up at 5 a.m. and go to bed at midnight so that you might be able to live a good life? And what are you, maybe you are lacking purpose and you're trying to take away other people's purpose so you can feel good. So this two-page advertisement in the New York Times is a list of corporations, CEOs, and celebrities that are deciding to say, look how good of a person I am. This says, we stand for democracy, a government of the people, by the people. This is an Alinsky tactic. Use the language of the enemy against them. Use the symbology. That's not the right word. Use the symbols. That's all I have to say, right? Use the symbols or the themes of us against us. Now, we've talked about this many times. We are not a democracy. And that's the one edit I give towards Tucker Carlson every time he says that, because we're not a democracy. So here's what they only say democracy 19 times here. We stand for democracy. It says here in the New York Times, however, regardless of our political affiliations, we believe the foundation of our electoral process rests upon the ability for each of us to cast our ballots for the candidate of our choice. How is that not something we believe? What kind of strange posturing gaslighting do the people who have signed this garbage think that we actually believe? You see, we believe in the right to vote so much. We want to make sure that our votes are not being shredded, that illegals are not voting, and that our votes are not being diluted by a broken process, which is why we support the Georgia election law. So in case you need a refresher of the companies you shouldn't buy products from, and by the way, we're working on our boycott page on charliekirk.com, so you'll be able to find the products that you should actually support. Here's who signs it. Accenture, AIG, Airbnb, Alphabet, Amazon, big surprise, American Airlines, American Express, Apple, Bain & Company, Bank of America, Berkshire Partners, Best Buy, Biogen, BlackRock, BMC Software, Boston Consulting Group, Cambridge Associates, Cisco, Civic Entertainment Group, Climb Credit, Cowboy Ventures, Dell Technologies, Deloitte, of course. Deloitte has done more damage shipping jobs overseas and making tons of money than any other company in the last couple decades. Dropbox, SD Lauder, Eventbrite, Ernst & Young, Facebook, of course. Ferrara, First Mark Capital, Ford Motor Company, General Catalyst, General Motors, Goldman Sachs, Harry's Inc., Hess, IBM, Insight Partners, Leadership, Instacart, J&J, JetBlue, Levi Strauss, which is an anti-American denim import company that makes Wuhan rich and America poor. Never buy Levi jeans. I can get into that later. Lyft, M&T Bank, MasterCard, McKinsey & Company, Merck, Microsoft Corporation, Netflix, Nordstrom's, PaperSource, PayPal, Peloton, Pinterest, Plaid, PwC, Reddit, bizarre cosigner, REI, Salesforce, ServiceNow, Smith & Company, Sodexo, Sonos, no longer buying Sonos speakers, that's for sure, Square, Starbucks, SurveyMonkey, T. Rowe Price, Target, Tory Burch, TripAdvisor, Twilio, Twitter, Under Armour, United Airlines, UTA, Vanguard, Viacom, CBS, Wells Fargo, Zendesk, and Zolo. And then there's an entire list of celebrities from Queen Latifah, who's a talentless hack, and Gwyneth Paltrow, and many others. Amy Schumer. Yeah, Amy Schumer is the Plato of our time, right? You must understand, Plato's Republic pales in comparison to the wisdom of Amy Schumer. Aristotle trembles in the shadows of Amy Schumer. I hope you all understand that. I read this list, I laugh. Demi Lovato, George Lucas. What a fall from grace that guy has had. This is a two-page, a multi-million-dollar advertisement. And who is it written? Who is it paid for? This two-page advertisement in the New York Times, which is, we feel guilty, follow us, we're a good person. It's actually paid for by the my least favorite type of person in public commentary right now. Paid by a bunch of people, but the first name is someone that I actually wrote glowingly about for years. Because I thought this person actually believed in the American system because she was such a beneficiary of it. Her name is Ursula Burns. You might not know that name. I've known this name for years. She's a black woman who was raised by a single mother in a New York City housing project. Her parents were Panamanian immigrants, and she was born in poverty of poverty. I used this example for years as someone who grew up in rags, started as an intern at Xerox, and went all the way up to the CEO of Xerox. She's a black woman. That's someone who grew up with nothing, but the American system afforded this black daughter of immigrants of a single mother a life of luxury because she earned it. So now Ursula Burns is taking out double-page ads in the New York Times, intentionally gaslighting and attacking a very vanilla Georgia law. Ursula Burns also says, quote, when it comes to police brutality, this is a woman who has actually done it. So now we have to be lectured by people like Oprah, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Patrice Cullors Khan, all of which have tens of millions of dollars of net worth, Oprah billions of dollars, that you can't succeed in the country. Black America, you don't understand. Focus on your circumstances more than on yourself. We're all victims. Meanwhile, Ursula Burns and Oprah Winfrey, two black women, can fly around the planet on their Global Expresses and their Gulfstream jets. Spare me the swan song. Here's what she says. Ursula Burns, the New York Times, of course, writes this. Ursula Burns says, despite being a successful black CEO, she says, quote, I dress like the 1%. I drive like the 1%. I wear watches and jewelry like the 1%. She says, but quote, I worry every day if a policeman is near me. They look at me as first and foremost, a threat to their place in society. How do you know that, Ursula Burns? And by the way, if police officers were the problem, how are you able to succeed in America? How is a black woman who grew up in a housing project, a daughter of an immigrant, single mother, how are you able to become the CEO of Xerox, you ungrateful activist? Only in America could you do that, Ursula Burns. Why don't you go move to the highly racist country of Germany and go try to become CEO of Mercedes-Benz? Please, Ursula Burns, tell me how that works out. Why don't you go to France and go try to become the CEO of Louis Vuitton? Go tell me how that one works out. You think a black woman could become CEO of Louis Vuitton in France? Go try another country. Only in America could someone as ungrateful as Ursula Burns take out a double page, afford to take out a $400,000 ad in the New York Times, and then go lecture the rest of us. And here's what bothers me the most. I don't care that she's lecturing us because I don't listen to her. What I care is that other black people are seeing what she has to say, and they're playing into this victimhood narrative. Ta-Nehisi Coates has a pessimistic view of black society. You know what she said? Ursula Burns says, police cracking down violently on protesters. I'm sorry, you mean rioters and terrorists attacking police officers? She said, quote, it is the scariest moment I've ever been in my entire life. Okay, Ursula Burns, why don't you go back to where you were raised in Brooklyn? Go back. Go spend a year in downtown New York without police presence. Tell me how that one works and go wear your watches. No, no, no. You're probably living in Greenwich, Connecticut or Malibu or on the 70th floor of some apartment complex in downtown Manhattan. And so now Ursula Burns is part of what I call a victimhood industrial complex in our country. And it bothers me because her message should be the opposite. Her message should be, you know what? I became CEO of Xerox because I had delayed gratification. I learned how to read. I had a wonderful mother. I believe in education opportunity. You know what now her big push is? Now she says, quote, corporate America have generally not distinguished themselves as moral leaders. Quote, they generally have gone along with the flow. And for a time, that's all we expected them to do. Their responsibility to their shareholders. Then how did you become CEO, Ursula Burns? If Xerox was so racist, how did you become? By the way, she was a terrible CEO. She screwed up the company. But if how did you become CEO of Xerox? How did you become a leader in corporate America? If America was so systemically racist, how did you, as a daughter of immigrants, become worth tens of millions of dollars? Same for Oprah. Same for Patrice Cullors. You know what the moral of the story is? Only in America could race-baiting grifters like these people actually become somewhat of a success. In America, there's a marketplace for everyone, including self-righteous activists like Ursula Burns. We're a bad example to black Americans and a bad example to the rest of us. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support us, it's charliekirk.com/support. God bless you. Speak to you soon.